Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this family. God, I thank you for this, what you're doing in this season. I thank you for the strength that I know I feel in this house, and just the new ways that you're opening up the heavens to us. And we love you. We thank you this morning, God. I just ask you to give us ears to hear, to receive this word, God, that it would be deposited in our spirit and it would challenge us and encourage us. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, my message today is titled Beyond Feelings, and I'm still in the My Church series with Pastor Verna, and I wanted to come in and just support what she's already been teaching. And for me, this is going to be more of kind of a conversation message today. Just what God's really putting on my heart and what he's been speaking to me. And I have some scripture we'll get into. But at the end of 2023, Pastor Verna and I were talking about this season and what we were feeling from the Lord, where we were feeling God taking us in the new year. And we both agreed that we were really feeling the local church was the subject that's really on God's heart. And that led to us deciding to go into the book of Acts on Wednesday nights as our Bible study. And we just really both felt that the local church is so on the heart of the Father right now. You know, it always is, but we both kind of felt this charge from God to really bring and gather the family back to the main thing, so to speak. And, you know, the main thing, why are we here? What are we doing? Why do we gather? What is this thing? Why is this thing called the local church so important? You know, we live in such an age of convenience, and man, it's amazing. I love the conveniences that we have. I think sometimes as people, it does us good to look at the privilege we have. You know, the privilege that we have even compared to 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, even the privilege that we have compared to those who are maybe traveling 3 to 4 hours on dirt roads to get to church on a Sunday morning, right? I've been there. We went to Guyana. You know, we took a boat upriver, and you're like, is the floorboard going to fall out? Am I going to end up in the river? I don't know. You know, these people are stomping hallelujah, but this floorboard doesn't look like it's going to hold up, you know? Like, I've seen what people were doing in this river. I don't know if I want to end up in it. It's a whole nother story for another day. Yeah, we went to South America, and I had to use the restroom, and I went in, and the toilet, there was a hole, and it just went over the river, and I was like, for sure, remind me not to get in the river. And so, back to the message, Simone. We're privileged. You know, when I came back from South America, I think I kissed my carpet. I did. I laid on it. I swam in it. Like, I just was just so grateful, you know, for the privilege that we have. And we can sometimes take it for granted. You know, we can take this amazing, you know, worship that we have on a Sunday for granted. We can take the fact that we get to come in and there's a heater for granted, you know, that we're not under a tarp. And I'm not demeaning any of those things, but just reminding us, like, man, how privileged we are. And it's good to stop and look at that. You know, we're so blessed. And when we stop and we look at the day that we live in and our modern privileges, it should lead us to gratitude. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, and it's like, what did we do before Instacart and DoorDash and Target pickup? Like, what was life before these conveniences? We can just hop on our phones and order our food and, you know, take care of business. And these things have become such a great tool and a great support to us in our modern day. But at the same time, they can also, I feel like the conveniences that we have attained in our day can also make us kind of numb and also create where we can become so bothered by minuscule things. You know, they call it first world problems on social media. You know, and don't get me wrong, God cares. He cares about the little things. He cares about the little things. But in an age of convenience, we can become so bothered when life gets inconvenient. All of us can. I get bothered when it's inconvenient. You know, and I was like laughing this morning when I woke up. I was like, this is the perfect message for today. It's dumping rain. I'm going to wash my hair right now, and it's going to be pointless because I'm going to look like a drowned rat by the time I get up to preach. So, you know, but it's like, I'm like, this is a, thank you, Lord, for this message, because getting to church today might have been a little inconvenient for some of us, right? But you still showed up. So thank you, family. Thank you for coming to church in the pouring down rain, for showing up with your Sunday best to worship. Got your umbrella. Thank the Lord for an umbrella. Umbrella, whatever that is. Good Lord. Y'all bear with me. I'm going through this stage right now where we're going to be talking about doing hard things today, but I'm learning so much as a mom. You know, my daughter teaches me so much about life, and we're going through this stage, and I brought this up before where she just doesn't want to wear clothes, and then she was good. She was, like, good with clothes. Now we're back to where, like, the clothing thing is, she's not good with clothes again. Like, it's, like, not, we're navigating through it. Like, I'm like, you got to leave your shirt on, but you could take your pants off, because if you have your shirt and your pants off and a police officer pulls me over, I'm getting arrested. Like, they're going to be like, you are an unfit mother. We're taking you to jail. And I've told her this. Like, I don't care if I put the fear of the Lord. I'm like, mommy's going to go to prison. They're going to take me to jail if you don't wear clothing in the car. That's what I've told her. So I'm like, you got to pick one. It's either the shirt or the pants. Like, you can't have both off, you know, at the same time. But we're in this season where I'm having to teach her, like, I understand that there's things you don't want to do, but you need to do them because they're important. And, like, communicating that to a four-year-old is kind of like beating your head against the wall over and over again. But I have to do it because she has to understand, like, there's hard things. I get putting on your pants today feels very hard for you. Be grateful you have pants. No, but like, right when your mom's the pastor. But we're going through this stage where it's like, I understand. This is hard. It's hard. It's inconvenient, maybe. Some of these things I'm asking you to do are inconvenient, but they're important and they're necessary, and you got to do them. You know, and we're in that stage where it's like she's having to learn you do hard things even when you don't want to do them because they're important and you need to do them. And you know, in an age of inconvenience, we can sometimes expect everything to be convenient. And what the Lord was challenging me with this morning is, and I'm gonna talk about the local church, but it's what happens when it's not? What happens when church becomes inconvenient? What happens when church feels hard? Because let's be honest, there's seasons where it's hard. It's hard to get in the car and drive to church when you're heart feels like it's bleeding out, and you don't want to talk to people, and you'd rather stay home and watch church online, and the last thing you want to do is have somebody ask you how you're doing, and you say, praise the Lord, we're great, you know, and you're not, you know, it's like, the last thing you want to do, there's seasons, if we're real, where we're like David, and we want to hide in the cave, and I talked about that in my last message, it's like, we go through these times, it's like, there's times where life is inconvenient, where being the church is inconvenient. Let's be real. I have an honest conversation today. What do we do when it's hard to worship? When it's hard to open your Bible? When it's hard to show up and be around other believers? We all can find ourselves in a place where convenience takes place over community. And I titled this message this morning, Beyond Feelings, and I'm going to slow down and pause at times. I want this to settle in on us today. You know, I look around, and man, you guys have been so faithful. I see faithful saints in this house. But we're in an age where many churches are closing down because church isn't convenient. And I'm seeing ministries and pastors that are trying to keep up with the Joneses and have enough programs and look good enough for people to invite their friends to church because they just want them to feel proud to come to their church. And it's like there's pastors that are burning the candles at both ends because they're just trying to make everybody feel good and happy and like church is convenient. And maybe they don't have all the resources as the big church down the street, but they're doing everything that they can and serving in 5 different ministries to make sure that they have enough for everybody to feel loved and plugged into and supported and have community and it's not enough. Because we're becoming so accustomed to our convenience. And our culture has become consumers. And this is a strong message this morning, but it's a message that God is challenging me in. Because in honesty, I've been through a season in the last couple years where I was like, God, do I really want to do this? I would never walk away, but there's times where it's like, Lord, I'm looking ahead and I'm like, can I take this church forward? Me? I'm not enough. God is. You know? And, man, this is not in my notes today, but I wanted to just have a conversation as a church today. Because if we don't check our consumer mentalities that we have been programmed with in our modern day age of convenience, if we don't check it at the door and remember what the church is supposed to be and why the church exists, if we don't become aware, we're going to bring that in to our community. And then what happens when we get bothered? What happens when something becomes inconvenient? What happens when somebody looks at you a way that maybe they didn't mean to, or they say something that maybe they didn't mean to say? If we don't check it, what happens is we take this mentality and we think, well, I could just go down there and go to church, or I could just go over here and go to church. And we treat the church like a consumer experience instead of a community that we're plugged into, as a life source, as a family. And we treat people like transactions, like another way to feed us. Thank you, Janet. Got me this morning. To belong to a community, to be a believer, to be a part of the church. You know, Pastor Vern has been doing such a great job of laying this foundation. You know, the church isn't a building, but it's also not us as individuals. It's us as a collective. It's us as a community. We can express, you know, the facets of the church as individuals, but it's that collective gathering where we really experience what the church is supposed to be. And I titled this Beyond Feelings today because being a part of the church, being in community, is not always going to feel convenient. You may even, Soul Harvest might not even be your dream church. Some of you are like, oh no, Pastor, I love, like, let's be honest, it might not be your dream church. You might have a dream church in your head, and it might not look like the one you're in. But you know what? Sometimes God puts you in places that maybe it doesn't look like what you wanted. Maybe that marriage doesn't look like the thing that you wanted. Maybe that job doesn't look like the thing that you wanted, but it's important. And showing up is important. And being responsible and faithful to the calling and the assignment that God has given you is important. You know, countless multitudes attend church regularly, and there's and again, this is a strong message, and I wanted you to hear my heart this morning because God's checking me in this. You know, I've come to the place in this season where I have a newfound love for the church, for our church, for this family, for our family. Because you guys show up when it's hard. You love one another when it's not easy, and I've seen that. I have felt that. And God's renewed a love in me for what we're doing and why we're doing it and why it's important. You know, I look at our kids and the fact that they get to come and they're safe and they're loved and they're taught the word and you know, that at any given day, I know I could pick up the phone, I could call Mama Nay, I could call you Jazz, I could call you Brett, I could look around and name all of you, and you'd be there in a heartbeat because that's the church and that's the family. And it's sad because a lot of the so-called church has lost value for the church because it doesn't cost anything anymore. Because it's become so convenient that when it's not convenient, we think something's wrong. Jesus commands us in the word to what? To count the cost. To lay down, he says that, you know, he laid down his life for us, for his bride, for the church. And he challenges us as the church to return the same, right? That we would love the church. Not just the pastor on the stage, but us, the church, the community. You know, you worship different when it costs you something. You pray different when it costs you. You give different when it costs you. When there is a cost to what you bring, you know, I think of the woman who brought her alabaster box and she broke it at Jesus' feet. There was a cost. And the Lord has been challenging me, where is the cost? What is it costing you to serve me? Because in an age where things are so convenient, we can lose sight of the cost because it's become so easy. This is making sense this morning. There's a quote from a book. I got scripture. We're going to get to it so nobody calls me a heretic. But I wanted to just communicate what I was feeling from the heart of the Father in this series. He says in his book, Brett McCracken, it's a book called Uncomfortable. He says, it's easy to dream about the perfect church. A church that sings just the right songs, to set just the right music before the pastor preaches just the right sermon, to a room filled with just the right mix of people who happen to agree with you on just about everything. Chances are, your church doesn't quite look like that. Although I would say that our worship team sings just the right songs because their ear is pressed to heaven. So thank you, Sarah, for seeking God every week for the songs that we sing. He says, chances are your church doesn't quite look like that. But what if instead of searching for a church that makes us comfortable, we learn to love our church even when it's challenging? What if some of the discomfort that we often experience is actually good for us? What would happen if the Sunday meetings were stripped of the glamour of the form? Would there be love for God and love for each other? Would we still find changed lives, healing, deliverance, joy only from salvation? Would Jesus be enough? What would happen within us? You know, discipline requires intentional inconvenience. Say that again. Discipline requires intentional inconvenience. To be disciplined is to be intentional in your inconveniences. It's inconvenient to get up and go to the gym at 5 a.m. or to do that, you know, that workout that you set out to do, or to fulfill that commitment and show up for that coffee date, even though you're tired and you don't want to talk to anybody, right? It's like, discipline requires intentional inconvenience. It's the only way we grow, is by being inconvenienced. Prayer, fasting, worship, nothing on that list is convenient. On the list of spiritual disciplines. But Christ hasn't called us to a life of convenience. He's called us to a life of fruitfulness. And fruitfulness takes discipline. And discipline requires intentional inconvenience. Showing up for church regularly requires discipline and can be inconvenient. But the cross wasn't convenient for Christ. And I'm thankful that God didn't take the convenient way out. And yes, there's a leak right there. If anybody's watching, there's water dripping right there. I saw Sarah's eyes. Put a little bucket down. It's fine. How dare the roof leak when we're trying to have church? This is so inconvenient. We live in a culture where convenience is king, and we assume that convenience is better. You know, if you think of all the products and programs and things that have been designed, you know, Sarah, that's just going to make a ticking noise, so let's just let it drip on the carpet. It's just not, it's, see, convenient and it's not always better. Is convenient always better? It's great. I am thankful. I am grateful for the car I get to drive in and to go home, and I will kiss my carpet because I am grateful. But if any of those conveniences take priority over the inconveniences I must go through in order to be the church or to be in community, then something's wrong in my heart. The Bible teaches that sacrifice is better, and sacrifice is never convenient. And do we sacrifice ourselves to the point where we're exhausted, and we can see the other end of that, right? Where you have church burnout. You have people who have served to the point that, you know, the rest of their life is unhealthy. No, but we also are in a day where we're so self-focused and so self-centered and self-improvement and self-this and self-that, that when something is inconvenient for self, we can't sacrifice. When the gospel is all about sacrifice. And I wanted to let this rest on us right now, because our consumerism is only growing. And if we don't realize how it's crept into the church, good churches are closing down because maybe they're not 500 people or 1,000 people or have all the programs or have all that, but you know what? There's a meal at their front doorstep when somebody in their family dies. And there's a phone call to check on them when they haven't seen them for 3 weeks because they actually can see that they're not there. Convenient isn't always better. And are there seasons where God calls us to move on, to start a new chapter? Absolutely, but he confirms that. He confirms that in the local church. He confirms that with leadership. But we are immersed in a culture that encourages us to inflate our wants until they take on the dimensions of a need. I hope you understand what I just said. But the funny thing is that what we think we want from a church is almost never what we need. Consumer culture teaches us that everything is expendable. It's easy to be a consumer. It's easy to be a critic. We're encouraged to consume something only as long as it suits us and then discard it without second thought. And then buy more. And we've begun to look at churches the same way that we look at our stuff that is expendable and discardable. The minute something's not to our liking or just right, we lose interest. We pull out. Instead of staying planted where God's called us to stay planted, to let our roots go down deep. The church isn't a consumable product. It's not something to experience and then we toss aside like lunch. The church is a faith community that is built upon the foundation of Christ. In Hebrews 10:24, we're going to look at this passage this morning. You know, the local manifestation of the church, made up of human beings, taught and led by imperfect people, has flaws. Lord help me, if you guys ever think I am perfect, I will continually make myself like the dirt on this stage so that never happens, because the reality is all of us have flaws. None of us are perfect. You know, the day of Grandma Dee Dee's 80th birthday party, we got there and Chrissy was like, "You look a little stressed." It's like, yeah, I growled at my child today. That happened. She's like, "You growl?" I was like, "Yeah." I just said, "Rah!" I said, I scared her. And now I'm dealing with mom shame. Because she didn't want to wear any clothing. And I needed to get going in the car. And the dress that I wanted to put on didn't work. And then she wanted to wear pajamas, but we were going to Redwood. So you can't wear pajamas to Redwood because it's a nice restaurant. But she's 4, so she doesn't understand this. So then I just got really overwhelmed and I just went, "Rah!" And I growled. And then she looked at me with, like, fear. And then I realized, oh, gosh, I've scarred her. She's going to be in counseling and for trauma when she's 22. And now I'm going through all the mom shame, you know. And I show up, and I was like, you know, I had to hug her. And I was squeezed her. I was like, okay, I'm going to hug all the scared out. And I had Meg, you know, made a joke of it. Like, is all the scared gone? Mommy is so sorry. But thank God, I have Chrissy, my sister. And we laugh. It's like, we're not perfect. You know, last week I growled at my kid. And it happens. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect family. Thank God. I am so grateful that Soul Harvest is like, we will admit it. You walk in, we're like, look, we love Jesus, y'all, but you ain't going to find, like, we are not going to be religiosity in here, right? You're not going to find stuck up, stuffy. Like, we're going to keep it real. You're going to know what's up. And if you don't like it, go down the church street and find a church where everybody looks good and everything's perfect, because that's not here. It's fake. You know, it's interesting, and I promise I'm going to read the scripture. I told you I wanted to have a conversation with y'all this morning. We're getting to the scripture, but all this is the Bible. It's all the Word of God, okay? You know, it's interesting. I read a thing that Gen Zers, what they're looking for in churches, because, you know, they're leaving by groves, but there's actually a revival happening within Gen Zers, and the thing that they want is they want authentic experience. They don't care about all the fluff. Kind of is like a Jesus movement again. You look at them, and they're like hippies, you know? Cash is going to fit right in. No shoes. But she's got to keep her clothes on her. Cash, you're going to listen to this when you're 16 one day. You're going to know I love you. I love you so much. But they just want authentic experience. You know what they want? They want mothers and fathers. They want discipleship. They want family. They don't want corporate America in church. They want real. And I look at what we have and the seeds of what we have and the foundation of what we have as a family. And I can't speak to the rest of the church body. I can speak to what we have, to our church. And I see that in here. And there's a whole generation out there that is dying for the hug of Rosie. If you've gotten a Rosie hug, right? Or is hungry, right? For that greeting that they're gonna get from Miss, you know, Mama Nay and Angelo and Taco and our whole greeting team when they walk in. Like, there's a generation that's hungry for that. And there comes a point where it's like, what are we waiting, you know, for the right, you know, building or the right song or the right, there's a world that's hungry for family, kids that need moms and dads. And, you know, and Chrissy and I, like, we were talking about this. It's like, as a church, we've almost been whittled down to the saints, man, to the mature. And that's not an age thing. It's like, I look around and I see seasoned saints in this house. Each of you are, you know, are pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers. And there's a whole generation that needs your expression of God. Hebrews, I told you I was going to get to it. 10:24 says this, and let us consider thoughtfully. I love this passage. You know, today I wanted to settle down on quality and not quantity. You know, we can go through a bunch of scripture and walk out and not even remember what we read, right? So I wanted to talk and I wanted to settle in. This passage says this, and let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. This is the church picture right here. What does it mean? Why are we here? What are we doing? Why do we show up every week on Wednesdays and Sundays and do this church thing? Let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some. You know, it's interesting that even then, there was a habit of some. Didn't want to show up. And they're instructing. The writer of Hebrews is instructing, hey, there is a habit of some that don't want to do this, but not for you. Don't forsake your meeting together. He says, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully, as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. This is why the local church, the church body, is so on the heart of God. Why? Because he is coming soon. He's coming soon. And what does the word say? It says, all the more. As our day is becoming more convenient, and I am thankful we have online, you know, church that we can watch when we're on vacation and we can, you know, maybe on a day where we're sick or we're taking care of life, because life interrupts, right? We all get that. We need that. And that's why things are convenient, right? Like we can thank God for our conveniences, but they don't take the place over, right? It's like the snack doesn't replace your main meal, you know? It's a snack. It's like, oh, it's a little fix. You know, we think we can listen to a podcast and have church. Like, it's a snack. I'm thankful for good teachings and all the stuff and all the information and that I can encourage myself on a daily basis, but it doesn't replace Bible study with believers where I am seen and I am encouraged and I am loved and I am challenged. And when I say, no, I'm okay, I'm asked, no, really, how are you? Because you're not okay. Because when we hide out, we can we can have our perfect Christian experience where no one knows and no one sees and they don't have to see our crazy. Thank God this is a church where y'all, I mean, Pastor Verna, she pretty much landed the crazy in last week's sermon. If you didn't hear it, there was a lot of metaphors. I am not Pastor Verna. I'm not talking about the Most High in this message today. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. We are talking about the Most High, but anyways, this is the challenge, saying, listen, as the we get to this wrap up, to this final closeout, what's going to happen? We know the love of the great body is going to what? Grow cold. There's going to be this pull, this separation, this apathy, this let's just, you know, we don't need church. Why do we need to go to church? We don't need it. I am the church. I am God. That's even at what's out there. But what does he say? You don't make that a habit, as some. But no, what do you, do not forsake your meeting together as believers for worship and instruction. But what? Encourage one another. This isn't just, I show up and feed me, Pastor, feed me, give me a word. I need a prophetic message from the Lord. God knows what we need. And he will meet those needs when we show up. And sometimes we're waiting, you know, there's that insecurity in us that wants to be noticed. And maybe you don't get noticed the way you want to be noticed that day, but you miss out on the message that God actually had for you because you were focused on something else. God will encourage you one way or another when you're in the community of believers. And he challenged that word, that passage challenges us. You're going to need this even more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. The ecclesia, and I'm going to wrap this up here in a minute, the church, the ecclesia in Greek, as we know, means the called out ones, those that have been called out. And I came across this blog post, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never heard anybody say this before, and I had to bring it in. I was like, I wish I wrote this, but I didn't write it, and I had to bring it in today because I just love this metaphor, and I think it'll really encourage you. This writer, he says, the church, it's kind of a contradictory statement, but stay with me. He says, the church doesn't exist to feed us. It exists to equip us. And we think, well, no, I go to church to get fed. Listen. He says, many are treating the church like a restaurant. While a restaurant is a place of preference that exists to meet my desires, culinary school is a place of perseverance where one comes to be equipped to feed others. He says, we need to not look at the church like a restaurant, but like a culinary school. And I loved this. He says, culinary school is something you invest your time, your talent, and your treasure in because you have a sense of calling. You sell your stuff, pay big tuition dollars, and move into a bad apartment, all because you are committed to a goal. You get a set of tools, really good ones. You learn a new set of skills. You're in a community of people with a vision. It's also a place where there is tremendous conflict as you learn your craft. But it's a place with support and encouragement and accountability also. They set you in front of a dangerous stove and let you play with knobs and try mixing stuff up and seeing how it tastes, hoping you don't blow the place up while you learn. The church should be a place where we're safe, where we can grow, where maybe we give a word and we're like, oh, I don't know if that was the Lord, but you know what? We're going to get there, you know, where you cut your teeth. Or maybe, you know, I remember in my early days of leading worship, I sounded like a dying animal. Thank God somebody gave me an opportunity. I thank God for Dana, who was our worship leader in that day, and worship pastor. You know, and she saw a gift in me that could be refined. And she let me up here sounding, my pitch was rough, y'all. Some of you were there in those early days. I think there's a CD somewhere that if it comes and surfaces, I'm going to burn. But, yeah, I know you do. That's why I said that. I don't want to call you out. But it was rough. It was real rough. But I'm so thankful for a community that let me grow when it wasn't perfect, when I didn't have it all together. That's how the church should be. You know, he says, also your class can go out into the world with a vision I hope you're getting the parallel here, for places where people will be fed and cared for and real community built. He says, I would suggest to you that is what the church is supposed to be. Those that are called out, equipped with tools and knowledge, allowed to practice, giving grace to one another with support and encouragement provided, a community where conflict is expected and forgiveness is extended, a community where we are playing with dangerous tools, the keys to the kingdom of God, but a community with a mission to change the world. He says, the world awaits. It awaits the flavor and seasoning and the freshness that can only come when we step into God's mission. It awaits the beauty and warm relationships that happen when we do our parts and dish up a big steaming bowl of the goodness of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. There's an aroma of Christ on those who serve. And that's from 2 Corinthians 2:15. There is. There's an aroma to those that serve. There's a fragrance to those that serve. There is the taste of the goodness of our God. There is a beauty for the eye to behold. He says, like a restaurant that hasn't opened yet, the neighborhood might not know the wonderful things in store for them until they begin to smell the aroma of Christ in your kitchen. And you begin to serve God's recipes at the banquet table of the kingdom. He says, are you waiting to be fed, or are you being equipped to take your gifts into the world, to a hungry world that awaits the Savior? I love that analogy because it's so true. You know, as a consumer, we'll look at the church like a restaurant. But as the body of Christ, as a community, that's how our vision should be. I come in here, I get tools, I get equipped. I receive instruction, right? I receive encouragement, as Hebrews talks about. And then what do? I take that aroma and I take it out to the world. And I allow the aroma of Christ to draw in those that are lost. Philippians 4, 12 through 13. I love this. Sarah, you can come on up. I'm going to land this morning. There were four things I wanted to give you that really marked the early church. Number one, they had a faith that produced obedience. If you're taking notes, they had a faith that produced obedience. They had a passion that produced unity. They had a desperation that produced prayer, and they had a spirit that produced power. Four markings of the early church. Philippians 4, 12 through 13 says this. I love this passage. This is in the Amplified. It says, I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. And I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. I really feel like this is like the balanced way that we should live as the church. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing life, whether well-fed or going hungry, whether having abundance or being in need. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. That's the attitude. That's the perspective that we as the church should be living with. And you know, I love that because it really shows serving God, it's beyond feelings. Like I said this morning, it's beyond feelings. When you become mature in Christ, you know how to live humbly, how to get along in difficult times. You know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. You know that no matter what you face, whether well-fed or going hungry, or having abundance or being in need, that you can do all things through him, because it's him that gives you strength. You know, I came to the point where it's like, God, I don't have to be everything that our church needs. I just have to be the doorway that leads them to you. And that's our call as the church, is to be those that are the doorway for others to enter in to the kingdom, for others to enter in and experience life, for others to enter in. We don't have to be everything that we need, and we should never be everything that people need. Like Paul said, I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. not in my own sufficiency, but in Christ's sufficiency. I might not feel like I'm enough. I might not feel like I have what it takes today. I might not, you know, feel like being the church. But I know that I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him because he gives me inner strength and confident peace. And you know, I didn't go into this today. There's a lot of directions I could have gone this morning. I hope you are encouraged. I hope you received something. I know I slowed down a lot in this because I really felt like just the Lord wanted to have a conversation about this today because it's destroying churches. It is. It's destroying families. It's destroying marriages. It's destroying good relationships. You know, when we are consumers instead of being true Christ followers, true disciples, when we have that mentality, it's never enough. No matter what feeds you, it's never enough. You can consume and consume and consume, but it's not enough. Because we're not satisfied in our consuming. We're satisfied in our sacrifice. We're satisfied in our hard work. You know, there was one last scripture I didn't give you this morning from Psalms, and it says this. I'll give it to you before. He says, you will get what you work for, and you will enjoy the Lord's blessing, and all will go well for you. When you have to sacrifice, when you have to work, when you had to stick it out, when you could have left and you could have gone somewhere that was more convenient, or you could have left that marriage and gone a different relationship. And, you know, maybe serving Christ cost you a relationship. Maybe it cost you a marriage. I don't, you know, maybe living this thing out, it has cost you in those ways. But here's the thing. When it's hard, that's where the reward is. You know, they've done studies. There's actually a part of our brain that when we do hard things, this part of our brain only gets bigger, only grows when we are faced with inconvenience and doing something hard. And they've done studies, and people whose brains, they have that area of their brain larger, they're athletes, they're highly successful, they're people that are able to do things at a whole nother level. And they've actually linked not being able to do hard things and not being able to, just being comfortable, basically. Being okay, right, with convenient, that area gets smaller. It's linked to more disease. It's linked to more depression. It's linked to a whole myriad of health issues. There's something that God knows. That's why he doesn't always make it easy. And we get confused and conflicted because we're like, it should be easy because our whole world has made it so easy for us that it should be easy. But you know what? He says, I'm not going to make it easy because you need it to be hard. Because it's in the struggle that you find strength. It's in the struggle that you find confidence, that you gain confidence in Christ because you see him move the mountain and you'll know he'll do it again. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I hope you were encouraged. I'm going to pray us out. Thank you for hanging with me through this message. I told you I had scripture for you. There's one thing I wanted you to know this morning. It was that God doesn't want us to forsake this. Your job as the church is to encourage one another in love and to be faithful. And to be faithful in that. And this morning, you may be watching. I look around. All y'all is saved as Billy Graham in this room. So I know you guys have Jesus. But I know online there may be somebody that doesn't know the Lord. You may be listening to this later on a podcast and it's not a religious prayer and routine. It's just saying, Jesus, I receive you. I accept you as my Lord. It's surrendering your heart to him. And that's all it is. It's entering into relationship with Christ. And so if you're watching, you're listening this morning, I just want to lead you in that, encourage you this morning to just say, Jesus, I surrender and I receive you as my Lord this morning. And if you've prayed that, if that's a decision you want to make, we'd love to be your church family. You can write us. You can let us know, online. But I want to pray a prayer over us this morning as we get ready to leave. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this season. God, I know in my own life there have been so many challenges in this last season. I see, God, the way you're strengthening me individually. I look around and I see the way you're strengthening all of us. I thank you, Lord, that what we've gone through as a body, what we've gone through as a church, as a community, Lord, has brought us to a whole nother level of confidence in you, another level of joy. I thank you, Lord, that you've brought us into the right family, You've placed us exactly where we're supposed to be. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we would, if we have any of that, any of those consumer mentalities or things, God, that have gotten rooted in us in the way that we view your body, in the way that we view the church, Lord, would you check it in us? Would you challenge us in it, Lord? Would you renew a fervency within us to serve, to lay down our life for the body as you laid down your life, God? Would you show us those ways that maybe are inconvenient, those places that maybe you're challenging us in, Lord, that don't feel convenient to our flesh, but we know we're supposed to step into it. Lord, don't let us off the hook when it's hard. Don't let us off the hook. To Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be ferocious in this season, Lord. Even those maybe who have stepped away, who haven't been here for a while, Lord, that in their spirit, Lord, maybe they've fallen into that rut and that routine. Would you be like a pit bulldog, relentless, Holy Spirit, that you would not let them rest until they return to the body, till they get back in their place, till they find their spot again within the family, within the body of Christ, God. We come together. Can we agree for that this morning? I really feel like that's on the heart, Lord. We call this morning. I want you to just really quickly, before we leave, I know we've got a meeting, but can you just, I want you to get with somebody next to you, and I want you to pray for prodigals. I really feel that's on the heart of the Lord this morning. Just turn to somebody. I want you to pray for prodigals to come home this morning. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we call back the sons and the daughters, Lord, who have gone astray, who have made it a habit, Lord, like your word talks about, of not showing up. Maybe, Lord, they've gone out of their spot because they were hurt or they were bitter or there was an offense, Lord. We call them back into the body. We call them back into the family, that even right now you would begin to put names and people on our hearts, Lord, those that you're encouraging us to reach out to, family members that need to be encouraged. Like your word says, Lord, you've challenged us as a body to be those that encourage one another, that love one another, that bring strength, that bring your aroma, that lead people to your goodness. Lord, we call those that have gone astray back. We call them home, Lord. We call them home, that anything that's gotten twisted in their heads, Lord, would get clear, that truth would reign, that truth would permeate their spirit, Lord, that they would not be able to rest until they get back into the place that they're supposed to be, into right relationship with you, into right relationship with the family of God. We call them back this morning in Jesus' name, and we thank you this morning. I'll let you finish up praying, but thank you, family. That's going to do it. I'll see you guys on Wednesday night.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.